everybody. Welcome to Brika Sock, a Mandalorian podcast. My name is Cork.
My name is Marika.
And I'm Brett.
All right. And we are here today for what I guess is technically our third episode on the Republic Commando book series. If you haven't checked out the first ones, there are two on them. It is Republic, it's just Republic Commando Hard Contact.
Part one and part two.
Yeah. Probably would be a good idea to at least skim through those episodes before just randomly listening to this.
Yes, because this is a direct sequel to that
part. Yes, direct sequel. Okay.
Do we want
to... That's what I'm trying to think.
I don't know if anyone would be listening just who hasn't listened to the first one, but...
Okay, if you haven't, main reason for that I really care about is we talked a lot last time about Karen Charvis. And basically that she's a TERF and why we don't like her. That is the author of the book, by the way. So be aware of that this is a TERFer's book.
And then I guess kind of off of that, the only, I guess, real difference between that episode and this one is that we are sorry if we had anything to do with it. I guess probably not. But there used to be, there was code Republic Commando, but good on AO3. Those no longer exist. So yeah. I was not able to read the version with the sexism and offensive language taken out. So I had to also read the regular.
Yes. So we did read the regular, but don't worry, we bought used the book. When
yes.
We bought. Anyway. All right. So this basically starts, we start off with a prologue on, I think it's Fest. It's a snow planet, and it's basically Fee's perspective this time in the prologue. And it is, why are only the prologues first person?
I don't know.
Anyone else find that kind of weird?
Oh.
Because the prologues are in first person, and then the rest is in third person perspective. Why not just, anyway.
Third person?
Yeah.
She's not a good one.
Right. Okay. So anyway, on the prologue, it's Fee and Omega, of course, and they're on a snow planet, and they basically just start with them joking that they finally got their black armor that they talked about wanting on Kalaria.
Can I just say one thing that is a little bit confusing? This is Omega Squad, so when they just mention Omega, it is Omega Squad, not Omega from Bad Batch, because that was throwing me a little bit.
Right, yes.
When I was listening to the audiobook version.
Actually, before we fully jump into this, I want to say a few things as we start going into the story. First of all, the last one when we did the episodes, it was before Bad Batch started. Basically, a lot of people have been like, Bad Batch is just Republic Commando.
Oh, okay.
Especially when we're talking about the more Delta Squad.
But yeah.
They're basically Delta Squad. Oh god, does that make Sev Crosshair? No! Anyway, there are a few things as I went through and was reading and I was like, okay, that was bad. So I will mention a few if it comes up. Also, I do also ship Fee and Sev, so I'm going to be bringing up that up a little.
At first I was like, I don't even see how that could happen. Then I was like, oh, this guy.
Weirdly, some people I have, just because I was looking at the fanfic, you know, on like fanfics of Republic, another big one I saw that people were shipping, which is kind of weird, but it kind of puts everything into a very different view, is that Cal and Vow.
Oh, Vow.
Vow.
I was listening to the audiobook and it literally said V-A-U. It spelled it out, so...
I was saying Vow.
Ow. I think in a previous episode you said Wall and Vu.
Wall and Vu. Okay, I don't...
Would you want to go with Vow?
Yeah, I'm going to go with Wall and Vow. That's how I've been reading. But people were saying that, like...
Because
they both worked with the true Mandos and Django, saying, like, oh, they were, like, comrades. Or, you know, and they, were like, had a thing. And then they got to Kamino, and he was like, oh, you're an ass with the clones. And then they got into a fight.
Yeah, I can see them hate-fucking each other.
Right.
Yeah.
So, I don't know.
All it ever is fuck.
I think it's kind of fun to bring up. That's, you know, it's a perspective to view it in. Okay. Anyway, so back to the prologue. It's Fee's perspective. He's basically talking, joking around, because it's Fee, about how they just got their black armor and now they're on a snow planet. And they had been waiting 7 months to get this armor. And they get it now when they're deployed to the snow planet. And they're kind of like, I think he even says like, oh, they're all laughing, but they realize like how close to death they are, which is basically a lot of what.
Yes.
He also mentions that there are high casualties and that the Republic Commando squads have been taking about 50 feet casualties. Mm-hmm. Also, a big point is they talk about what they would want right now. Niner basically is like white armor. Mm-hmm. Aiden says, Uju cake. Dar says to see an old friend.
Dar says, I miss my girlfriend.
Right.
And then my girlfriend is my crush. Or the best girl I ever met.
Right. And Fee says that he would want to see Coruscant and get here. So
he wants to party.
Right, a little bit. Mm-hmm. Okay, so then when we start with chapter one, we actually are going back before Geonosis, and we're getting the perspective of Cal Socrata, who this is the first time we've actually had anything from him.
Mm-hmm.
They talked about him some in Heart, but not really.
Yeah, this is, there are a couple things when I know you had said it, I don't even know if it was on the podcast, Cork, but that you don't think there was intention to be a sequel, because I really thought Cal Socrata was dead, and that's why they were all talking about him like that. And now in this one, he's like suddenly alive. It's also been retconned that he's not actually an alcoholic. So like, yeah. I was like, okay.
Yeah.
So yeah.
Oh yeah, I forgot about that. They did say that he would say mean stuff to them when he drank too much.
Well, there was like one specific line that it's like, despite the rumors, he only drinks like, it seems like tequila to try to get him to like fall asleep or something.
No, Tihar.
Oh yeah.
The Mandalorian moonshine.
Okay.
Yeah. Anyway, so we have Cal Sacrata, a Mandalorian mercenary, and he is arriving on Kamino after taking a job from Jango Fett to help train elites. He basically is just doesn't give two shits about anything for the money because Jango asked him. He doesn't really like the whole sterile environment of Kamino. And then as he's walking around, he realizes there's like these weird pods and realizes like, oh fuck, there are babies in those pods. Mm-hmm. I'm not training soldiers, I'm raising
children.
Clones.
Yeah.
So Jango comes and meets him, and they explain a little bit about the Kuvadar, which basically is just, you know, that they no longer exist, that if you took the credits, that because this was so secret, no one could know about it, they had to basically, they could no longer ever speak of it before their lives again, or have any connections to their family or anything.
But we find out where, like, Cal's wife basically, like, kicked him as kids.
Jango is like, oh, what happened with your wife, you know? And, you know, he's basically like, yeah, she kicked me out because what with her? And he was like, oh, I should have married a Mandalorian. What's the problem?
like the whole Mandalorian.
Well, not always, but some. Yeah, I get what you're saying. To continue. Yeah. So then basically Jango tells him that he needs his help evaluating the first batch. And Cal, of course, is kind of like, well, I'm here. I guess this is what I'm doing.
Yeah.
But when they go in with the Kaminoans, basically instead of what he expects to be, like, you know, at least Mando age soldiers, so around 13.
Yeah, 13.
They're actually about 4 years old. They seem really scared. It's said that they're actually 2 years old. And Cal's kind of like, that doesn't make sense. They definitely look older than two. Basically, they said that they won't obey. They can't get them to do anything right. And basically, the Kaminoan says that they need to be reconditioned and explains that reconditioned means. Mm-hmm. So Cal stands up for them and Jango does side with him. Like, oh, you know, wild cards might, you know, a few wild cards might be a good idea. And as they're doing this, one of the kids grabs Cal's hand, but then eventually uses that to pull his blaster. He's basically threatening, like, ready to kill the Kaminoan. Cal ends up being able to talk him down, but is like really proud of him, you know, whatever. He decides that he is going to take in the Nulls. That's who they are. There's six of them. I don't think I saw them. And Jango's basically like, yeah, just take them all. I'll work it out.
Yeah.
You know, he ends up bringing them back to his apartment. He gives them some ooze. He freaks out a little about what the fuck he's doing, what he's supposed to do. Ordo comes and like asks him a question and he asks his name and Ordo basically, you know, well, not Ordo yet.
The little one that grabbed his hand.
The one that grabbed his hand, yeah. And ends up basically naming him Ordo, and tells him that Ordo was a Mandalorian warrior. And like he says, like, are we Mandalorian warriors? And he's like, you bet. The kid was a natural fighter in every sense of the word. And then, I like that name. Little Ordo considered the white tiled floor for a moment, as if assessing the rest. What's a Mandalorian? So he like is just like, yeah, cool. I'm totally a man.
Yeah.
And so that kind of freaks out Cal, and he's all like, oh, they're gonna be Darmanda. I need to raise them to be Mandos, you know. Despite the fact that they're not Mandos, they are Mandos.
They don't have.
Right, that's kind of what he's saying. He's like, oh, well, they shouldn't live out without knowing their. So he ends up naming them all. All of them are pretty Mandalorian names. I don't have them. Yeah, they're Ordo, Auden, Kamrick, Crudy, Morale, and Jang. I think, yeah, we do have them. Not in this.
Okay.
So he realizes that they're kind of like afraid and they kind of keep jumping every time it lightnings and because it's Kamino storming. Yeah, it happens a lot. So I do actually like this quote from Cal. Like he asks, are you scared? And then Ordo says, yes, Cal, is that wrong? And he says, no, son, not at all. Being afraid is okay. It's your body's way of getting you ready to defend yourself. And all you have to do is use it and not let it use you. Do you understand that? They kind of like...
Yes.
Yeah.
Like all them being afraid of lightning. Yeah.
Right. So at that time, Jango comes to check in with them and he has a child with him and Cal's kind of like, that kid looks awfully a lot like you. And he's basically like, yeah, that's my son, Boba, you know, and he's like, well, he's two. And he's like, well, they seem a lot older than two. They're all clones.
Yeah.
And he explains then their accelerated aging that, yes, they are two, but they would more be biologically four. Mm-hmm. And basically says that, like, I'm trying to think of what to say. Oh, says that he basically convinced The Kamanoans that he can keep the gnolls, but the gnolls are 100% his, that they are Cal's. He tells them to, like, go ahead. Django leaves, and basically Cal goes and puts them to bed, and Ordo's kind of freaked out, and he asks why, and Ordo says that he's scared of the thunder. It sounds like the bombs. Mm-hmm. So that was cool.
Yeah,
we're bombing some kids.
4-year-old.
Right. So then we go back to 8 years later, and CSF, it's still Cal's perspective. CSF, which is Coruscant Security, calls Cal because there's a disruption from the nulls. Basically, they don't want to go and do cool down, which is what, remember, we saw slightly between Geonosis and Kalaria.
Yeah.
Right. They don't want to just, like, be frozen until the time again. Cal says that he'll help as long as he's given his job back. They eventually are like, fine, you can be a consultant for
yeah.
He ends up getting them to relax and all is well. Okay. All it says is gay, very large on the chat.
How many of those are there in the book?
Oh, no, I ended up marking it a different way for that.
There's a color for gay. Okay.
Yeah. No, I folded it down a certain way. The folded down ones are gay. Anyway, chapter two. So basically, we are now with Etain, and she has become a general.
Yeah.
Been promoted and is on the ship, the Fearless. She's able to kind of have a great, good relationship with the clones under her command. Like, they're joking with her. She's treating them like human beings. And she realizes that, like, Dar and Kalaria really helped her, like, understand clones and, like, you know, to die, and she tells them that. No.
I kind of really did like this reintroduction to Etain because, one, she's actually being good at her job. She's not actively being raped or being pursued by rapists, as how she was introduced in Hot Contact.
Yeah.
And it seems like she's actually grown in maybe not the most conventional general, but a good general.
Right.
So I like that for her. That's
right.
Better treatment than she had in almost all of the book.
Right. So she basically, like, they're going into a battle, and, you know, she tells them to take off their helmets. She wants to see their faces and, you know, explains that, like, they know what their job is and, like, you know, but do everything you can to stay safe. I don't want you to.
Yeah.
And, like, it even says that, like, a lot of them are confused by this because they've never heard a general just say that. She then is talking to her commander, Get, and hears Vodayon being sung through the helmets. And she, like, realizes this deep, like, sense of community that they have that she's not quite regarded, but, like. So then we switch our perspective to Ordo, who, I love Ordo. At first, though, when I first started reading this, like, I was like, who are all these people I don't care about?
Oh, I know. I kind of
like, right,
too.
Like, at first, and then, like, I end up really liking, but they should have.
I don't know. I don't know if I like Ordo.
Really? Oh, Ordo. Yeah, I like Ordo.
I feel like he's kind of boring, and then a couple times, he's just really sexist, so I don't know.
He's just an asshole.
Well, yeah,
I mean,
but now
because he's raised by Tom.
He had an emotional, he's the father, that was
yeah, I don't know, I go back and forth with how much I like, I think Ordo's cool. But he immediately starts, like, basically saying that, like, he needs General Jessic, and he's not responding to his comlink, and he should really be responding to his comlink, and he's really annoyed by this. And so he ends up, like, just, first of all, I just put, seems gay. He basically needs Jessic to look into a bombing that happened, and he doesn't really give a shit about the Jedi or anyone else. He has this very, like, Cal's the only person I report to. I don't give a shit that I'm in the army. Meh. Kind of perspective.
Yeah.
And has this, like, few people. So he just, like, fucking interrupts the general's meeting and is like, I need Jessic.
Yeah.
Jessic is kind of like, oh, okay. All right, let's do that. Basically, like, Jessic follows him and is like, oh, yeah, I can help. They seem, like, really casual, especially, you know, because...
Yeah.
Right.
It might be less of a general than Etain is.
Right. 100%. Well, like, yeah. Like, Ordo does stuff like to pilot. I know you enjoy it. Like, he's always like, there's one point later where he's like, yeah, well, Jessic will help. He really likes to please. Like, stop. That's
okay.
Right. Exactly. So Maze, the Z's captain, is like, what the fuck are you doing? Who do you think you are?
Mm-hmm.
Ordo just punches him and is like, bye.
You know
time.
My dad is.
Yeah. Literally. And is like, bye, okay. And Jessica's like, are we just leaving? Okay. So Ordo and Jessica arrive at the bombing site, and there's media there. It was a pretty big attack, but most of the people who died were clones, but there were a few civilians that died as well. Oh, I forgot one more thing. Sorry. Oh, they have, like, a whole conversation about family and
oh, yeah.
And that Jessica is kind of like, you know, what is going on with Kamino? Wasn't that weird? Blah, blah, blah. And he's like, Ordo ends up asking him if he remembers being taken from his parents. And Jessica was like, nope, not really.
Yeah.
So then they arrive, and Cal basically is like, yeah, I don't care about anything else, but clones got pissed. Which also is a little, maybe not the best, like there was, like, he doesn't even say that he, like, doesn't care about the civilian casualties.
Yeah.
Which, I mean, okay, I mean, I get the clones are your thing, but other people died.
Yeah.
Like, I get,
people with lives and money.
He literally was like, I don't care about the civilian or the property loss. I was like, okay, those are still deaths.
I'm not care about the property loss.
Yeah, just like, right. It's a little weird. So Justin goes and basically evaluates the scene using the Force. And he finds that there kind of was no malice there present. And that he comes to the conclusion that the person who wanted to do this wasn't actually, that it was some kind of wrong. And so then we go back, switch back to Delta on a ship. And they are with a pilot, Sicko. And Sicko gets mentioned so often.
He dives super early into how much he is mentioned.
Oh, bitch. Oh, but he's mentioned.
Throughout the whole book.
Really?
Yeah. He's at least, he's at least mentioned in the next book. Really? If not the one after that. He really gets
hung up on Sicko.
Yeah. Really hung up on Sicko.
Which is goofy since all of Omega had previous squads that all were killed.
Right. But
and like agents had two. But like everyone like is toasting Sicko more often than like their actual backstory.
Really?
Karen's
son. Right. So, yeah, it was based on Karen's son. He was in the Air Force, probably.
So anyway, he's like a good pilot. They're joking around. Basically, they're teasing Fee about being friends with Ordo, and they basically call them like the Wacko Squad or something, the Nulls. Mm. Like, the Nulls are clearly not seen as like super normal, as the Ordo trying to find squads. So they are intercepting a commercial freighter that may be smuggling explosives or have the people with information about them. And they want survivors. Yeah. They need to have survivors. So unfortunately, shit goes wrong pretty quickly, and they're barely able to make it on ship. They're under fire. They're impressed by Sicko's skills to get them on the ship, I guess. On the ship, three of the prisoners lock them in the cockpit, and the hull is breached. Sicko dies, and they're stranded with little Ick trying to figure out what to do. So then we switch back to Etane and troopers going into battle. I mean, it's pretty much a battle.
Yes.
Again, she proves herself. Her troopers are with her. She makes a battle of Velarde. Blah, blah, blah.
She kills enough people that she's like covered in blood, or like, she's near enough people dying that her covered in blood. Becomes like a big thing.
Right. She realizes when they get on that there's not enough medroids to treat all the wounded. There's a trooper that is wounded, and she goes over to them. They're dying, and they've basically been triaged as too far gone to help.
Yep.
It's another fee. She tries to help the pain. He dies. And then, like, as they're leaving, she, like, questions, like, where are the bodies? What do we do with the bodies?
Yeah.
And I think it's Clanky is just like, right. Clanky's just like, don't worry about it. It's not a big deal.
Yeah.
Brushes up. And she is. But I mean, what is fucked up?
Well, I mean, is the leaving the bodies thing, because that seems to come up a little bit too. Is the leaving the bodies, is that like a we don't care, you're clones and you're not real people? Or is that a Mandalorian thing, which as long as we take the, like, a bit of your armor? Okay.
I think it's more of, I mean, it is a Mandalorian thing.
Yeah.
When, you know, if you're in constant battle, you can't always, you know,
bring your wounded back to Mandalore and bury them.
And you're nomads.
Yeah.
Why would you?
Yeah.
I mean, Mandalore is not even really home, you know.
Yeah.
So it's kind of like as long as you have a piece of them.
Yes.
But they kind of just like, you know.
Yes. This is worth money.
Right. Kind of. Yeah. So then we have Cal Obrim, who is the head of CSF.
His first name is Jailer.
And I'm probably Commando, but good. They made Jailer female, which I liked better.
Oh,
Jailer
was
a woman then. Yeah.
Was
like, oh yes, she's someone's wife. So then she was like a cool lesbian cop, which was a lot better. I know. Just remember that from now on. Jailer's a woman. So they check evidence, mostly a video. They're able to see that it arrives. The person does not seem at all involved, and then it explodes, which makes them mad. Somebody knew that there would be clones there. They knew, like, the timing, and they knew the location. It wasn't random.
There's a mole.
Right. There's a mole.
Also seemed like whoever was driving, like, the truck in didn't seem to know what was happening. It seemed like it was a suicide bomb.
Right. Yeah. It didn't seem... Yeah. It seemed like it was all set up, which made sense with what...
What Jessica was saying.
Right. Yeah. So then Cal gets a call saying, also, as we were just saying, that Cal takes the tallies from their armor.
Yes.
As Mando remembrance of having a piece of their armor. And those are usually the only thing that gets recovered, if anything does, because it was... So then Omega contacts them with a Red Zero alert, which means that they need immediate extraction. They only have about 10 minutes to 3 hours of air, and they have to blow that hatch in a pretty close area, and they might be able to get in and hopefully have more air.
Yeah.
Maybe. Also, Obram's there, and this is where we first get the, like, Fee and the CSF shit.
Yeah.
Like, Fee basically jumped on a bomb and some kind of mission saved her.
Okay. Yeah, the CSF people all seem to love Fee.
Yeah. So that's why.
Fee's a very loved person.
Right, so they do end up surviving the blast, and they're able to take three prisoners, and there is oxygen, so they're able to treat. So Etain's on the ship, and she feels like a little useless or an outsider as like everyone's like dying, going around.
Yeah.
She ends up comforting troopers. Later I marked off where I wanted to have the, like, where the flags in here were, and I don't know why I didn't start at the meadows. It was the smartest thing. So she comforts troopers. She says, which is always like, this is, I mean, her forever.
Yeah.
She basically says, I have nothing. Oh, she gives someone water. Says, I have nothing else I can give you. I can't pay you. I can't promote you. I can't give you a few days R&R, and I can't even decorate you for valor. I'm truly sorry that I can't. And I'm sorry that you're being used like this, and I wish I could put an end to it and change your lives forever, but I can't. All I can do is ask for your forgiveness. And then all the clones are just like, okay.
Okay, this is the thing of like, there's not like a real audiobook. So basically, I just had my Apple Books reading to me. And so it's just like a very robotic voice. There's no like inflection of if it's dialogue or if it's internal dialogue.
So you didn't know she was saying that?
It seemed like that was so on the nose for her to be saying. I was like, she can't just be saying this. So then I did go back and like look, and I was like, oh no, she's just, okay, she's, what was the reaction of all the, and then the reaction of all the,
yeah,
other,
they were like
a couple clapping, like, what?
Okay, like, he's General. Son, he looked at the bottle and then took a long swig of it. His expression suddenly went blister. Okay, General, thank you.
Which I guess, like, she was like overwhelmed by everything that just happened, and like another clone who basically has Fee's face just named Fee died
right,
in front of her.
Right.
But, like, is this all
it
very...
was a little, yeah.
Yeah.
So she basically goes to sleep. She wakes up with a force to sleep, and Get tells her that they are going to,
like, that boy I knew for 3 weeks.
Right. They're going to Red Zero, and it's Omega Squad. It is very strange. It's very strange.
It's weird now.
Reading it out loud, it was strange.
Yeah.
All right. So, in chapter 4, it's Omega Squad again on the ship in the cockpit, and they're basically ensuring the prisoner's survival. They have, like, given them blankets, and they're, like, trying to get some info, because they're kind of like, well, we might not make this. Maybe we can get something out of them. They don't really say anything.
Yeah.
Fee's perspective again, he's kind of reflecting on his relationship with Cal. And then they find out that Delta is in transit. And why do Fee's jokes always seem so gay? He literally at one point is there like, oh, like, he's like, oh, Delta's coming and Fearless and stuff. It's like, oh, they're so macho competing for us. They're always so fucking gay, every single one. I'm like, okay. Anyway, but there's also a step ship. So then it goes back to Etain and Fearless on their way. She ends up talking to Delta, and basically Boss is like, what do you want us to do? If you don't care about the prisoners dying, we can just like jump in, grab them, or we can do it a harder way. That might be more risky, but we'll preserve. She reluctantly says that they need to keep the prisoners alive despite Omega Squad possibly dying. And she feels guilty. So again, Fee's contemplating life. as Delta arrives, so does the SEP ship. Fearless ends up taking a shot at the SEPs, and it's a close call, but they do manage to not kill him.
Mm-hmm.
So they're rescued. It's just a lot of, like, talking. Etain is tense, and Seb is just kind of being an asshole, like, teasing him about Val and, like, you know, whatever. And everyone's kind of like, oh, what's this shit that's going on?
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, that's the Etain Val thing.
Yeah. Which wasn't poorly written. I did like that it was just like, well, clearly something happened.
Oh, wait. So you didn't get to that either.
Oh, are we revealing that now?
Sorry.
Through some fuck-ups of scheduling, I wasn't able to get all the way to the end of the book, so I have not read probably the last, what would you say that was, quite possibly like
chapter four.
Yeah, about the last one.
Okay, yeah.
So, but I mean, a lot of, we'll go over it later. I will definitely read, right. There'll be two parts I'll be reading pretty much out loud.
Okay.
I guess.
Well, don't we end up finding that, like, didn't Val cause the scar? And
yeah.
And it,
yeah.
Okay, he like hit him with something.
Oh. Wait, with a cod, with the best cod.
Okay,
the sword.
Yes. Okay, they did say that.
Fucking sword.
Okay.
Yeah, with a full metal sword.
Right. He hit like a Beskar spear, basically.
Right. Oh, you can challenge me, kids. You get nothing. Good luck.
Yeah.
Pretty fucked.
Hey, he's back to Cal.
Yeah.
Later.
Oh yeah.
Later,
they like do a character switch, don't they?
Yeah. But anyway. Yeah. Pretty much.
much.
They pretty much do a character swap. Mm-hmm.
Anyway, so, okay, so chapter 5, it's Cal and Ordo doing shit. They go and, like, get food.
I don't know, like, I know, like, Din has gone to a lot of Star Wars in his entire armor, but the thought that, like, Ordo was, like, on a public bus in his full armor and then, like, goes to, like, a greasy diner, it just felt like I was just thinking of him, like, in, like, literally, like, New York City on, like, a public bus and then going to, like, some hole-in-the-wall diner with his dad while wearing the full armor. It just is such a funny image.
Right, and I liked it because he would, like, Cal at one point is like, take off your helmet. Because, like, everyone was looking at him.
Yeah.
He does, and, like, a bunch of people, like, gasped, and were like, oh my god. Like, they were whispering, like, they're not
I had this exact same image in my head, but it was, like, a little less disturbing because
I'm thinking, like, I'm like,
remember when you watched me play the Spider-Man video game? Literally, like, the fast travel is just Spider-Man on the subway, and he's literally just jamming out to, like, his headphones or something in the full suit. I'm like, oh, yeah, that's how that would look.
This is a very funny, I don't know, I just found it very funny.
So, then, like, as they're talking and everything, well, because that's kind of, like, one of the points is Cal's, like, the best way to go about trying to figure out who this terrorist thing is, hide in plain sight.
Yes.
But to do that, you need to stop being, you know.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. People need to, whatever, get used to looking at you.
Yeah.
So, Etienne and Omega and Delta arrive on the Fearless, and, like, you know, Fee's all like,
hey, General! And I was like, hey, General!
Right.
And then Agent's like, hey, General. And I was like, I don't know how to talk to you, girl. I like it.
Yeah. Yeah. She basically, like, thinks that they all feel different. They feel a lot older. She thinks Delta feels way different than them. And that Dar is no longer baby. As we put.
Yeah. Because they've aged 1/2.
Right. So then we're back with Cal and Ordo going to meet with Val, Z, and Jacek. Basically, Cal is immediately pissed just because Val's there. Ordo is on alert. And also, the Strill is there. Murd. You know later. You don't like Murd?
I like Murd, but Strills are very weird.
They're very weird.
I like...
Did you look up what they look
like? No, but, like, I'm glad I didn't. Because, like, I was just a dog that he has. And then when it, like, started, like... When we finally get the full of, like, what the fuck it is later, I was like, oh, so that's why this dog has just been hanging around for fucking, like, 2/3 of this book.
Yeah, it's like a Mandalorian thing. Yeah, it's a Mandalorian thing. Like,
well, it was easier to picture in Les Goofy than the Galarian.
Yes, right. Not one of the fucking finger worms, pipe cleaner worms.
It literally looks like a dog with extra skin.
That's way too cute. They do not look that cute.
I was gonna say, obviously, it would look like that. I feel like Etienne should have been like, this thing?
That's a Strill.
A lot of these are art, and I found, like, let me go. This one artist I really, I like, because they draw a lot of cool stuff, and they are a Republic Commando fan. I'm like, sweet, love that.
Is that
but,
more...
Yeah, kind of, yeah.
Like a weird leopard thing? Yeah.
Like a lizard.
She drew it with it, like, its face. Anyway, though, she's very against clone set. And I'm like, you ruined all your art for me, hon. But at least she's also against Rexoka.
Yeah.
There are a lot of people who are like, clone set, no. And then they're like, Rex fucks this child. Like, okay, fuck all of you. Like, this is the problem. Anyway, that was off track. So Cal basically tells Z that he wants to deploy Omega and Delta on Coruscant in order to find the terrorists. Basically, he says that the war is here, and even though terrorism seems like a smaller thing for them to do, it's going to really hurt the Republic's image, and basically bad. Val is basically just there because he's going to torture the prisoners, try to get information. And Z basically is like, well, I can't know anything about this. Like, go to the senator and don't cause too much attention.
Yeah.
And so then there's some Cal and Val. Yeah.
Like, I would like to buy a Val.
Val, yeah. shit about, you know.
It's just like they have different methods of being dads.
Right. And they fight about it nonstop.
Oh, and Cal doesn't like.
Oh, yeah. Cal doesn't like the Shrill. Because the Shrill
tried to attack him at some point.
They tried to attack Ordo.
Yeah.
Oh.
Which is
obviously. Ordo was a baby. Well, not a 5.
No, in Cal's eyes, Ordo was a baby.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Just, anyway. And so, and then we're back on the ship where basically the whole group is together and doing, basically Omega and Delta are teaching the troopers of the 41st how to do the word of Erna.
Yeah.
So, the Atu, anyway.
I just skimmed over most of it, except for that, because I actually knew how that sounded.
Right.
Oh, trust you play the Republic Commando game. You will not know.
Not even that, where were we driving home from? What, like Thanksgiving, and Colt just like turned it on the radio?
Sounds also
yeah,
like,
yeah.
The radio, what am I, 100
right.
years old?
Yeah, I went and called it to Kiss FM.
To
play Alberta Warda, please.
She put it on the Bluetooth.
The Bluetooth, yes. On the XM radio.
Cirrus. XM, you gotta say the full name.
Anyway, so they're doing that. I do like at one point that they're like, Seb's brooding in the corner, and then he joins.
Yeah.
I end up liking Seb because whatever. Anyway.
Yes,
who's like up watching with Eden and then like goes and joins?
Her commander.
Okay.
Yeah, just her commander. And then they depart.
Wait, so that commander's not commander under her?
Yeah.
Okay.
Right, he's a clone.
Okay.
Which I guess he wouldn't actually.
I think she calls him commander, but I guess.
She does call him commander, but
he's
technically
like a
I think
clone
right,
commander.
He's right. He's a commander. Right. Right, yeah. So when he ends up, like, you know, having her, like, he basically is, like, very respectful of her, even though she was only temporarily on the ship, you know.
Yeah, that
kind of lets her have, like, a weird sense.
Yeah, which seemed like a cute, like, oh, well, we possibly got counting how, like, terribly he was detained in the first one. Like,
right, right. I know. It's a lot. All right, so they arrive on Coruscant and are basically, like, talking, Delta and Omega are just, like, talking shit to each other, and then they're, like, I don't know, Omega, like, makes fun of Cal and stuff, and then Cal's, like,
yeah.
Makes him do push-ups, but the only reason I mention this is because this was my first gay one, quote. Okay, come on, though. But it's literally, like, Omega parted ranks to give Delta the room to perform 50 press-ups in full armor with backpack. Fee watched appreciatively. He didn't care for Seb at all. Bitch,
you
yeah. Literally sounds like you're checking him out, and they're like,
he's not as pretty as the other. Oh, no, wait, that happens later
I'm sorry,
in the book.
Watching appreciatively? I don't know.
I know
it's kind of like a, haha, they have to do.
Appreciatively, I feel like, I completely understand your gay reading of being like, yeah, but also I think it was more like he appreciates
right.
his relationship with Cal, and like, they don't have to do that.
I guess so. Still, though, I thought it was. Mm-hmm. So, you know, Cal's all relieved, and it's like, oh, don't scare me again, whatever. So then Naka arrives to take the prisoners. Everyone kind of freaks out, including Etain, and is like, someone should be on the base. And Cal ends up being like, no, my fault. That was dumb. This is our Wookiee friend. They're taking the prisoners.
Oh, yeah, she was like arriving in like a civilian taxi.
Yes.
That was not supposed
to. Etain is introduced and like wants answers. She keeps questioning, like, what are you doing with the prisoners? Where are they going? I think I do need to know. They basically just brushes her off. Then Cal does tell Fee that they will be. Then Etain and Socrata go talk, and basically she like feels that he's really passionate in the Force, that goes between these two extremes of like extreme anger and killing, but also like love and passion. Pretty much exactly what Jedi shouldn't.
Yeah, and also like, I mean, it's just great. My girlfriend, I want you to meet my dad.
Right.
Like,
yeah,
and
right.
So he's like, oh, you gotta keep meeting him. Like, you're gonna love him. It's gonna be great. And even Etain's like, oh, I really hope I do, or that I can fake it well enough for Darwin.
Right,
because
right.
He seems really excited about me liking him and like meeting him and liking him.
Right.
Which is just, I don't know. Sometimes Darwin seems very childish, and it's just like weird.
I mean, he's actually
like 12.
Yeah, a child.
Yeah, but he does some not child things with Etain later. So.
Right, but again, okay, that's also kind of the argument I have with the clones is, yeah, technically age-wise they are, but even though they're humans, they're like a subspecies.
Yeah.
So they are adult at that age.
True.
That would be like saying, that would like, if you flip that the other way, if we're only going by year base, then you would say that like, you know, Grogu is an adult and more mature than Din because he's older.
Yes.
Right?
Yeah,
so that's my whole problem with the Rex Ahsoka. Yeah, technically she's older than him, but technically she's 13 and he is a grown man.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Like, no, that's not the same fucking thing.
It's still gross.
That's what I'm saying. It's like,
I feel
because,
like it's more about like...
I know what you're saying here. His maturity level seems skewed, but I think that's also a lot because of, I mean, growing up.
Well, yeah, that's what I feel like. It's more like a
not so bad, right?
Yeah. Well, yes, better. I mean. But I feel like it's more like an like exposure thing.
Right.
Of like, yeah, just he just hasn't really lived in the world, and also like she was the first girl he ever met.
Yeah. Yeah. So basically, he asks her what she's willing to do to help, and she basically agrees to do anything for the clones, and they both are like,
yeah,
Cool.
For the clones.
Right. Right.
The S is in there.
Right.
The clones.
So basically, the squads meet and are told that they're going to be working together on Coruscant.
Set.
Right. Basically, Seven, Eight, and are still like kind of ready to go at each other. Prada like makes them like be nice and whatever. Basically says that this is going to be Black Ops, be tough, and that, like, you know, mentioned his past child abuse to them, you know. And then Ordo arrives, and him and Fee are friends. Ordo's intense, and no one knows what the fuck's happening.
Mm-hmm.
So then Cal basically dismisses everyone, says, we'll be back tomorrow. And he overhears Niner, basic Jatine Bura, the best father. And even, like, Cal's like, well, that was a joke. His own kids had formally disowned him and declared him Darbura. And, like, but also, yeah, Cal.
Yeah.
The kids chose to.
Right. I mean,
That's a good point, actually. When the kids had a choice, and if of their parent, like, what parent to be, what they didn't chose him, but the clones had a stand.
Right, right. To them, they're like, well, he didn't beat the shit out of us like Val. So
yeah, no, he's better than agents.
Sometimes he gave us Uzu cake, like, literally.
That's what
we are. So he basically is like, oh, I need to talk to you. Oh, no, not yet. I skipped ahead. I'm sorry. Him and Ordo talk and basically says that, like, Etain may need help torturing. And this is where he says the thing, well, like, just it could be helpful. You know, he's always anxious to please. And basically, Cal's like, no, I think choice can do it. And Ordo gets, like, very stuck in every literal thing that Cal says.
Yeah.
Right. And he keeps being like, I didn't, like, you know. I won't disappoint, being literal.
Yeah, he has some, like, abandonment, self-esteem, daddy issues.
Oh, gosh. Tons
no.
of it. Tons of it. Yeah. Okay, so then we end up that Ordo is like, okay, I'll help try to find the lead. He ends up infiltrating the logistics center and gets help, possibly gets help from a trooper named Kor, who works there after to be on bomb disposal, but he lost both hands. So now he is working. Yeah, now he's just, like, working as an office job into good enough prosthetics where he can do his job. So they end up going.
Kind of depressing.
Right. So they end up going.
Wait. Is this when we go into, like, the office? Is it? Okay. I'm assuming you're going to mention her introduction. We've literally mentioned.
Wait. Oh, yeah. Sorry. This is the part where we turn this into Clone 24, right?
A little bit, yes, actually. Right.
Dun,
who's the mole in the office?
Right.
Football in case my
But Ethan can't be the hero because she's Chloe. And Bessany's too attractive.
That's okay, can we talk about that? Can we talk about that?
I hate it. I don't want to.
I love when they walk in and there's like, oh, there's a woman. She's really, really attractive.
I hate her.
That's later. Cal says that. Cal says that.
No. Fucking Ordo said it. He's instantly suspicious of Bessany because she's so hot.
Oh, like, yeah. Oh, no, he's yes. Yeah, he is.
Like, oh, because that woman, she's hot. She's suspicious. I don't like her. Man.
Yeah, he's suspicious. That's even worse. He's suspicious because she is nice to Kor.
Yeah.
She's right.
Nice to
so
a
he's
club.
Like, oh, why is this super attractive woman hanging out with this
clone?
Disabled clone? That's why I don't like Ordo.
Ordo see things very
ma'am,
strange.
He's broken.
Strange. I said, Ordo, don't talk about Echo like that.
One trauma baby to another, mm-hmm. huh?
Of course, fine. yeah, so, god, the shit with Bessany, especially the shit with Bessany versus Etain.
Oof. I mean, this was, like, because there were a couple moments where it's like, I don't know, Cal talks about Etain throughout, so I don't remember exactly where it was.
Oh, I have.
But the way Bessany's entire introduction, I'm not reading the but good version, I'm reading the actual version. Like, this would have been toned down, I feel like, in the but good. Because it's so weird.
And it's so annoying because Bessany becomes like a main ass fucking character
and
later.
Bad bitch. Yeah.
And half of the time I'm like, I just tell, she's so cool later. And I'm like, why do we have to keep talking about her fucking appearance?
And then everyone finds her like suspicious because she's so attractive. And I was like, what does that have to do with anything?
Like, oh my god, it's so fucking annoying. Anyway. Right.
She's
like,
just
be
cool.
That. Like,
and
yeah,
sure, she's hot,
fine.
But we don't have to mention it every time we talk about it.
Literally. Like,
yeah, that's not Scully's main
thing. Exactly. It's not that, like, everyone else there is.
That's perfect.
Because of the
She's
Jillian
very
Anderson.
Much like Scully. She's very smart, has a very, like, you know, specialized job, does better than a lot of the men she works with, and is very attractive. But we're not always literally
but
going...
But Skinner's not literally stopping the scene to think about how attractive Scully is.
Right, exactly, right. Anyway, so they go to talk to this senator, who is basically in charge of PR for the...
Oh, was that guy actually a senator? I thought he was just, like, public relations for...
No,
the
he was
Curacao
high up.
Government.
He was high up.
Okay. He was high, all right.
He was some kind of...
I guess just in my mind, he's a public relations specialist for
right.
the Coruscant government.
He's just also doing... He's just the social media guy.
So I didn't even know he was also actually a senator.
I think that's what they said. He was high enough...
Yeah, well, he seemed like he was, like, high-level, right. like, government. I also like that they just, like, Callie even says that, like, he's, like, he doesn't trustworthy, but, like, likes that he's able to use his skill set for this.
Right, and he's basically like, you know, you should give them leave and work for this case because, you know, it's going to look good. The Republic's going to be reminded of that there are these people fighting for them, and, like, it's going to keep the public interest in the war, and it's just good to have rested soldiers.
Oh, yeah. Oh, is this when
it makes them look better, too, to not be, you know.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. So, yeah, because this is when I'm saying, like, let them all, sorry if he wasn't paying attention for a second, that he wants to, like, hey, you should approve that less, like, the soldiers can go on leave sometimes. So
right.
there's just a bunch of people who look like Django just wandering around Coruscant. So when his two squads
right.
are wandering around, they're not us.
Just perfect cover.
Yeah.
And, I mean, he even says, like, oh, I never thought that you didn't get leave.
Yeah, I do.
Like, I never even had that thought cross my mind.
Yeah.
So they end up like, wow, that was easier than I thought. And basically they realize that the only last thing they need is to find a location where they can hide out. So that leads them heading to Cubo's hut, which is a hut's bar that Cal knew from his mercenary thing. Basically, the owner owes him a huge debt, and he basically is willing to trade, let us stay in your sleazy-ass bar/hotel, and... we can call the debt over.
Yeah.
It takes some negotiating, but eventually Cal, you know, I don't know.
He's able to get it there because he's just like...
harasses it out of him.
Yeah.
And then says, Kinu Jakarji Sha Mandawade. Just don't mess with me. Again, you probably...
that one I kind of liked. Is this one also when they go in to, like, secure this place that, Ordo
right.
walks into the kitchen like the Terminator asshole that he is and scares the fuck out of a Twi'lek girl who works at the place.
Yeah. He scares the shit out of Lucima. No, she doesn't die. Lucima does not die.
Good, I was gonna say. Like...
But then again, I guess I don't really know because this fucking series isn't finished. Have we said that on here yet?
I never will be.
Oh, I don't think so. You told me, I don't think it was on
right. here. Right, we've talked about this in person before, but I don't think I've actually said it on here. So, there are 5 books total of this series, which I thought was the end of the series. But there was supposed to be a 6th that was never published, but there was a slight, small outline for it. And the reason it wasn't published was because it seemed like Clone Wars was starting to happen, and it just wasn't going to fit right. And then apparently Karen would compromise on ideals she had to fit into this canon that was going, and then so she just never published that, which is so fucking annoying. It was really upsetting when I didn't know, and I finished the 5th book, and I was like, what? What? Like, it leaves on a huge cliffhanger.
Because I know we specifically say in our contact episode, our 5 of these. Yeah.
I was like, what? I need to know what happened. Finally! It's like the whole book was building up to the climax, and I'm like, great, we're going to figure this out. I was reading it on my phone from a download, and...
we're not giving this money.
Right. Right. It was so... But it was like... I guess it was the PDF was copied weird. So it still said I had like over 100 pages left.
Oh, yeah.
Because it like had a bunch of like parts from different little like, you know, introductions of different books and different series. So I was like, oh, this is going to be pretty quick to wrap this up. But we can definitely do it. We can definitely do it. And then I get to the end and I'm like, what? What? I was so upset. So upset. Anyway, we'll talk about, I guess, after the 5th one. talk about the timeline at least so we can get some kind of All right, so they end up securing a place, and then they end up all basically hanging around, and Jussik is playing, I forget, it's basically Mandalorian rugby.
That's what it sounded like.
Right,
it's like Delta Omega and Jussik.
Right, yeah. Basically they were like told,
because it's Wii, so
right. They're basically told to, I don't know, it basically like Cal made them split teams so that they wouldn't I don't know, I guess to help team building.
Yeah, he's basically trying to get them to get along so like they couldn't, it couldn't just be Delta Viome the next team.
So Jessic, though, is basically getting the shit kicked out of him because he's a tiny little twink. And so then like Cal comes out and it's like, are you guys fucking idiots? Like, don't get injured. Why aren't you wearing armor? It's like,
yeah.
You know, Jessica has like a bloody nose and like,
yeah,
that
like a black eye.
Right. And it's clear that Jessica looks up to Cal at this. And then we basically end up going into the briefing and Cal explains that they'll be working on Coruscant because they're going undercover to locate and eliminate a terror ring. He also tells them that Etain is going to be helping torture.
Yeah.
And she's kind of like,
yeah,
okay, let's do that. And he ends up like just basically taking her and being like, okay, let's go. And it's basically, he just immediately is like, okay, I need you to, can you do that? And she's like, I mean, that's, I really guess so. And he's like, all right, we're here, torture these people. Like,
yeah.
Like, I don't know. I feel like, come on, give her, Jesus.
You're going to be all right, let's go.
Right. Right.
Yeah, well, she's, like, literally swooped off to go torture people as Jessica's like, oh, yeah, we're gonna, you're gonna be a taxi driver along with them.
So right, like, yeah. Like, oh, yeah, you're gonna, you guys
are gonna be the Wookiee's second in command as,
right,
as you know, junior taxi driver. We're gonna make Etain go torture these prisoners.
Right. They were doing it right now.
Yeah.
So she agrees, because she just feels like the war is, like, inherently wrong, and if this is what she can do to help, save some clones, even if it's whatever, she's gonna do
it. Not Darman.
Right. So then they go to, like, their safe house. And also, why are they fucking torturing people in OTR? Do you remember what the description for this is?
The brewery district?
Right. It's the brewery district. It literally said, the property was a small apartment in a refurbished quarter known as the brewery. The construction droids were still working on some of the buildings, facing them with tasteful Durasteel rot work. Val was going to have to fit. V was going to have a fit when he saw the bill for this one land on his desk. And they're literally in a gentrified brewery area.
Yes, I did think of that. I was like, why are they doing this in this, like, yuppie gentrified neighborhood? Like,
but they do kind of explain that. I have, like,
it just felt
why
too...
Why else?
It just felt too real. I think it's being called the brewery district just felt very too real world. I was like, I don't like this.
Right.
I was like, this is weird.
Because he literally says, like, top round soundproofing. Naka was smart. You know, Val's job could be noisy.
I think this might be my thing that...
There's no point of upsetting neighbors in the cheaper parts of town that have less efficient.
Yeah. Maybe this is just because of, like, what parts of Star Wars I've just never really seen anything where they've, like, been in, except, like, a couple of parts of, like, Rogue One.
Right.
Because I've never watched the prequels, which I know take place, like, most. And so it's, like, the original trilogy once, The Mandalorian 1,000 times, and then, like, now, like, Bad Batch, these books, and, like, yeah, I guess that's it.
Yeah.
So, like, and Solo, I guess, but, like,
mm-hmm,
that also.
So
just being, like, cities feels weird, because it's just, like, they want a bus, and they went to a diner, and now we're just in a gentrified neighborhood that's called the Brewery District.
Right.
Which is, I don't know, that felt too... Because they called the other one the Entertainment Districts, and I was like, that's... Maybe, yeah, you're right. Maybe it is literally just because of... Yeah, it's a part of Cincinnati that's called OTR. That is also sometimes called the Brewery District.
Right.
Like, yeah. Like, there's a part of it that's called the Brewery District. Yeah.
Weird. So, this is also... They're, like, going up to the apartment. This is what you're thinking of.
Mm.
So, he's like, you up to this, Attica? If not, walk away now. She says, no, I'm not backing out now. And then, this is Cal's perspective. It says, he thought she might reveal powerful charisma or sweetness that would explain why the scrap of skin, bone, and unkempt hair had so riveted Darman. But she was just a kid. A Jedi kid with a lot of responsibility that showed her... Why are you being so mean?
Why do we have to keep explaining? Why do we have to keep saying that that is what Etain looks like? There's better ways to say, like, can you read that? Like, what was that?
It literally is she might suddenly reveal some powerful charisma or sweetness that would explain why the scrap of skin, bone, and unkempt hair.
It's always unkempt
like,
hair.
It's always like skin, bone, and unkempt hair. I was like,
right. And we just called Jessica child.
What?
Like, yeah. And they don't, I don't know what Jessica looks like. I could not tell you what Jessica looks like. But when she's, like, a skinny, like, white-brown hair with, like, that's, like, wispy and unkempt, I guess.
But
Like,
Jessica's long blonde hair, shoulder length blonde hair. That's why they keep getting annoyed when they're on the speeder behind him. They say that a few times.
Okay,
like, you need to fucking cut your hair.
Yes.
And then later when he becomes Amanda, they're like, you're going to have to cut your hair and learn how to braid.
Yeah.
This is going to come out the back of your helmet.
It's just that, like, they're always just like, oh, yes.
But yeah, they always are like, they say that.
She's like a weakling waist.
They say that Jessica looks small compared to the commandos and that he has blonde hair.
Yeah.
And fair skin.
Which is like, they could literally explain.
They say Etain looked very, you know, very small.
Yeah.
It's very, you could even say Etain looked very small and fair compared to the man, compared to the.
Yes,
right.
But then we have to.
And then we get this ideal of like, oh, okay, it's white, you know.
And like small. Like, it was like, oh,
actually, I've started reading the Ahsoka book because I want to, just for fun. But anyway, this is talking about like ways to describe people that I really like. It's like, and I mean, she definitely does. The author. They definitely have an advantage of people know who these characters are already,
yeah.
Right? But like, part of it, she explains like meeting someone. And, you know, she's, like, talking to her, and she says, I think it's, like, she was lighter than Master Windu, but darker than Rex, and her hair was braided in neat rows down her head.
Okay.
And I was like, perfect! I get exactly what she looks
right.
Like!
So
she's
my way
of
showing me her braids, okay.
Right! I was like, great! I love that description. That's how a human would describe someone.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, for Ahsoka... Yeah, she'd be like, oh, her skin's...
Well, I get, like, okay, I get, like, saw, like...
Cows and ass.
Yeah. Well, a cow's, like, I don't know, a boomer. So he's, like, explaining this, like, little girl that has, like, you know...
But even then, because he does then say that thing if she's just a kid, is he could almost say, like, you know, she had, like, a stature that reminded him sometimes more of a child, but with... You know, like there's a way to...
But it's the weird of, like, he's saying, like, she's just a kid. If he's viewing her like a child, but he doesn't... He then does not treat her like a child, but he treats Jessica.
Right.
He treats Etain more like
right.
an equal, but he describes her like a child.
Right.
He describes Jessica as a child and treats Jessica like a child.
Right, right.
So it's
yes.
a very weird... Yeah.
I hate the way he... I hate it.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway.
Yeah.
So she gets up there. Val's there. She basically asks to see the prisoners. Val and Socrata are talking civilly. And, like, they even say, like, oh, they're both doing a job. So there's no reason to, you know, fight. Which, again, that kind of weird thing. But whatever. She has to, like, see all of them. And basically says that who's more likely to break is the human. He actually knows stuff. She believes the Nikitos don't. Basically says she feels that he's afraid to break, they're afraid to die. And it's very different.
Yeah, I did
that
like
that. Makes her realize that they don't know anything.
Yes, I did like that. I did like that. I feel like there were a couple of instances, because I know I said it a couple of times, Hot Contact as well, there are some few instances of good writing, and that was one of the good ones of, oh yeah, that makes sense, of
mm-hmm.
like... Yeah, that was actually, like, a good nuance when I just, like, what he tweeted as,
right.
like, a sex object or
right.
a child.
Right.
Like, so I did, like that decision was,
mm-hmm.
yeah.
So she ends up torturing the guy, but kind of to what no one expected. She's just kind of watching him. He seems distressed. And then Cal ends up being able to, like, overhear what she's saying. And she basically is saying, like, fear of being wrong is worse than pain, isn't it? It just eats you and you can't shut it off. Are you right? Or are you as bad as the Republic you hate? Are you really the enemy? Are we really the enemy or are you? Look at all the helpless pawns you... So she's basically, like, I'm guessing showing him clones dying
yeah.
over and over. I would assume that that's probably around. But I do like that. I do also like that turn on it. So she keeps this up for a while and he's eventually weak enough to break. Val goes back in and is able to get a drop location out of him and that they have, like, an ideal. It's going to be at the retail zone. He wasn't given a date. They're supposed to drop off the explosives at a warehouse and someone would be around to collect. He ends up killing the Nikito, but not keeping Orzhul alive. Just so she also does end up telling, like, Socrata what she did. And she said, sowing doubt is a very corrosive when you're dealing with people who believe in God. And then he goes on with that whole weird thing about his daughter and, like, sometimes forgetting she exists.
Yeah.
Sorry, he says that. And I'm like, and then he's like, oh, and then, you know, then she's like, but I have sons. It's okay. I have sons. Which, like, that's not how Mandalorians work. Even Val's better than that. At one point, like,
yeah.
you know, when they're going in, part you were out, they're going in to kill that guy later
yeah.
on. And, you know, she
Spoilers.
Gets there. Come on, you're just killing a guy. So they're going in to kill someone. And Val basically says, like, no disrespect or, you know, Samanda way that, like, all warriors are the same, but I can do this.
Yeah.
Like, specifically saying, like, I'm not trying to say this because you're a woman. Like,
yeah.
you don't want to kill.
Yeah.
Right, and I'm like, okay, So
Val's an abusive piece of shit, but he's not a shit.
Right. Cal just seems like a piece of shit in general. All right. So basically, we have everyone at the base going over the new kit and basically like looking at the technology they have and also bitching about not having their armor and like feeling weird without it, that they're only wearing like body armor, like a few plates, can't use their helmets. But they are using bead comm links that can hide in your ears all the time. Basically, V is kind of like contemplating life, and it feels like the new world is hard and doesn't know what the hell is going on. So they end up getting a location. I'm fine. Bye. Okay, so basically Etain and... Right, that's right. Okay. Etain and Val come back. Etain and Socrata come back. Delta's impatient. They kind of just want to, like, go. They don't really care. Then Etain seems to kind of be, like, struggling. Like, nothing really happens here. They're just kind of all, like, talking about... So then she's confused because Val is very calm in the Force. He is doing it completely detached from his emotion. And that confuses her because everything she was taught is that kind of thinking is the light side. That's the right thing. But she doesn't get it because...
Because he's so, like, cool with, like, torturing and killing. Right. He should be, like, dark side.
But really, you know, Cal would be more of the dark side. She's like, well, why is Cal, who's, like, passionate and seems, like, loving at least to the people he chooses, why would he be more considered the dark side than Val, who seems pretty fucking evil? And then, basically, Dar comes and checks in on her, and she asks, like, a lot of questions about, like, he questions things and what he thinks about all this, and pretty much everyone comes to the conclusion that the real world is hard, and it confuses things, and sometimes he wishes that he was just back on Kamino. She asks, like, does it make me disloyal to question? And he's like, it's not disloyal to, you know, which I do kind of like. It's a very Mandalorian. Like, you can question it, but, right. So, whatever. Then they, like, get shitty food and have, like, a little date. They confess their feelings and then they fuck.
Oh my god, that you're just gonna scoop over? You're just gonna...
Well, what? They talk forever about confessing their feelings.
They literally... I thought I was like, oh, this is just gonna be a cute one. Like, we're gonna be like, oh, how am I gonna go? And then they literally... Chang confesses her love to Darman. And then they're like, oh, you wanna fuck? And Darman's like, I don't know how long fucking takes, but let's go.
Yeah. Well, what else are they gonna do? They're gonna die.
Are they? They're about to start this very chill Black Ops mission. I mean, it's not chill, but, like, they know they're just gonna be hiding out in this...
Well, it works. Then right after, they're going back to war. In a few weeks.
In a few weeks?
Might as well cut to the chase. You only got a few weeks. You might have a fifth person
12!
Again.
And she's a Jedi!
Yeah, she's
it
a
just, it felt Jedi. Very fast and very weird, because
it
was like...
It was kind of like...
The first time I read it, I was literally like, oh my god, did they just fuck? Like, what?
Right, I was like, oh, okay. Yeah, so I feel like the way I said that was right. They had a little date, they confessed their feelings, and then they fuck. That's exactly what happened in that succession.
I was like, Etain, you've known this boy for, like... You would spend maybe 3-4 weeks with this boy over the course of a year? Like, what?
Right. So, chapter 11. I haven't been announcing all. But anyway, we get to Fee, Sev, and Jussik on watch in the taxi. In the taxi. Basically, Fee, like, you know, considers Jussik a good Jedi. You know, Sev is kind of, like, being brass and being like, are you going to shut up? Like, are you bored? And then, like, Jessica's like, oh, sorry, Seth, my fault. He's like, oh. It's kind of weird. And basically, like, you know, basically says, Fee savors a moment of delight at seeing Seth's stone-cold pretense reduced to embarrassed indifference. All Jedi were supposed to be humble, but Jessica actually, he seemed to see himself as nothing special. Just a man with some accidental skills that didn't make him more important than any of the next person, only different.
I like that a lot. I like that.
Description.
Well, annoyingly, I feel like that is also how each, which I feel like they, like,
I feel like Fee thinks that about Etain, too.
Yeah, but I mean, Karen doesn't point that out. She only points that out with the man. Like, but, yeah.
I know. So, they end up seeing a weird transport, and basically, like, they kind of just, like, deliver something and, like, leave. And they're like, well, that's not really how it's supposed to go. Like, they don't unload anything, you know. There's only one thing.
Supposed to be a signature.
Right.
There's processes in place that
don't. Right. So, they see a woman and a fallen male, and basically, they split up, and Sev wants to follow them, and basically brings Fee, and it's just like, come on, we're going. And Jessica's like, this is a bad idea. Like, you know, he's basically like, Cal said not to do that, like, you know, whatever. But I just like that Sev and Fee are just bickering, like, back and forth, being around, and I don't know, though, the way they, like, bicker just sounds like they're flirting.
It does. I will give you that.
Right.
It does.
Yeah, and even later on, there is stuff where I was like, oh, they...
Right, and then all of a sudden, like, you know, people are at the bar and stuff, and, you know, only a few... Two people come up, and it's Fee and Seb. I was like, why are Fee and Seb the only two? Like, they're not on watch right now. Mm-hmm. And then they're like, oh, Aiton, you should leave. I think Osima wants to see you. It's like, right.
And why in some other corner of the bar, Dharma and Eve just have a forehead touching, staring into each other's eyes.
That's called a kettlebell.
Here's a thumb.
It's still a kettlebell. So yes. We have like a little moment of Cal talking to Oberyn. You know, basically Oberyn's like, you know, like, oh, I can't get involved. And he's like, oh, you won't get involved. Mm. You know, it's just basically being like, you don't hear anything, don't know about this. Just kind of informing him that he can't inform him.
Yeah, it's all like, oh, I'm having, like, a problem with my eyesight. I'm not seeing them.
Right, yeah,
so
yeah.
Like, oh, I must be having hearing problems. Damn it. You know what? I like the idea of...
Oberyn being a woman?
Yes, just being this lesbian cop.
Yes. Yeah, I know. That's just how we'll see them. Mm-hmm. So then it switches back to Fee and Seb, and they're following the woman. They realize that she is not a pro, and she's just kind of playing by ear. She ends up, like, doing stuff, like, looking at shops, and, like, they end up having to double back. They, like, blend in with clones that are in the area.
Oh, is this when they're, like, literally in a shop?
Yes, they're, like, just, like, in a shopping center. Yeah.
It's just, I don't know, this one just feels so weird. Because, like, it was all, like, we're on some Star Wars Now we're, like, on a bus and in a diner and in a mall and in a sketchy hotel and in a renovated apartment in OTR. It's just a very weird, like, what? This isn't the Star Wars I'm used to.
Right. Okay, here's one of those.
I was supposed to be in a Crackle Barrel on Sorghum. We're not supposed to be on a fucking renovated apartment.
Right. Well, then it's like she went and goes into the nearest shop, and it's like maybe she owed Django credits. Fee shrugged and noted with a sinking heart that the shop looked to be exclusively the garments on this display were truly bizarre or were just not her type. So smart mouth, you're going to follow her in there? I could. Well, tell them you're looking for a present for your girlfriend. Don't push your luck. Is there a back way out?
The first part of that? Maybe I just wasn't paying attention. I know I read that.
Right.
And maybe. I didn't get the garments on display were weird.
Really
and I thought it was just like, it looked like an, like.
Like what? Like a lesbian bar? You think he's watching? She's wandering in the whole base?
No. I missed the description that it was like a Victoria's Secret. Mm-hmm. And it was just something like, I think I only got to like them being like, oh, you can't go in there. But it felt like a Victoria's Secret. And I was like, what is this?
Yeah, it felt like a Victoria's Secret.
I guess some parts of Star Wars are like this. It's not the Star Wars too. As someone with, you know, the Star Wars. It was, I don't know. It just felt
I don't get why Seth says, just tell him you're looking for a present for your girlfriend. And then Fee is like, don't push your luck.
I thought that was just Fee being self-deprecating.
Don't push your luck. What the fuck does that mean? Anyway, it doesn't matter.
Oh, if he's like,
don't push your luck. You think there's back? Like, why don't just be like,
it's coded.
Or being like, don't push your luck. Nothing in there is gonna look that great on you anyway.
Right.
We're gonna have just to go to some gay store in the entertainment district.
And the fact that it's like, tell them you're looking for a present for your girlfriend. Like ? I don't. What? Gay. They're fucking. I've decided it. It's true. It's canon. Everyone else can die. I don't know. I found that whole. So then basically they continue following her and she ends up like on a platform looking for a taxi. And basically.
I like Jessica. This whole sequence.
Jessica's just like, I'm a taxi driver. And like picks her up and like bullshits this whole like annoyed taxi driver thing that's going on and about her needing to pay more money and like basically sets it up so that. 7 feet can just jump into the taxi and like overpower this woman.
And even everything he's like saying because his like comm is still connected to mm-hmm. that. So he's like saying all this like coded stuff, but they still like get kind of what he's saying and what he's doing. Like, and I know they both like compliment him at some point of like, well, I guess it's him, but maybe Seth. So of like how like smart he's being about it and like, oh, he's actually good at this.
Right.
Like, it was just all very like, it was just a very like goofy like mall heist.
I know. Basically, they need Barton to land at like 90 degrees so they can like just jump in and like fly up into the whatever. So, I don't know, 7 feet. And they end up like, they do end up doing that. They jump in and they're basically like able to overpower her and like basically they start flying. They end up in this like crazy ass chase through Coruscant. And I mean, I don't know how else to
say. I feel like
it's crazy.
There's like one or two sexist lines, maybe some here, but other than that, it's like banned.
Right. It's literally just like a crazy ass.
Like some cars chasing them, and they're just like,
I think Connor Karen the turf, but is she really a turf if she keeps putting women down so much?
Right. She's a sexist and a turf. Right. It's a weird dichotomy that she's not wearing.
Yeah, because I think at one point Fee says something like, which is totally annoying. It's annoying because it's like, I love you, and I know this isn't you, Fee. This is fucking Cal saying dumb shit.
Yeah.
I love why he's like, oh, I'm not afraid to kill, like, a woman. So, okay. Yeah.
Cool.
Okay.
Cool, yeah. Bud.
Of course. Why'd you say that?
Yeah.
Anyway, Seb ends up... Right.
Unless you've never... I mean, other than Etain, you've never really met another woman.
Right, exactly. Mm-hmm. Like, you barely know anyone. Oh, I do love this. I do love that, like, Seb. So he's like, I just hope they're not CSF. And then Seb's like, they're not ours. And they're in pursuit, so they're a target. Mm-hmm. I'm like... So I was like, fuck them all. Mm-hmm. So they do end up, like, getting rid of the people that are following them, and they are able to make it back to the base. And, like, Jessica's being, like, a big old dork. Is like, oh, thank you for flying Jedi Air. And, like, because he was driving, like, an insane person. But then I just love that Fee's just like, you're all insane. He's like, you're all insane, said Fee, and stalked off. So... Then, basically, when they return, Cal's worried, and Fee and Jessica are, like, feel really guilty about it. And Seb's just kind of like, so what?
Yeah.
Like, he just doesn't give two shits. Mm-hmm. Everything is kind of tense at this point. And, you know, Cal kind of is like, you don't know what the fuck you're doing. Like, you guys are just used to, like, going in and taking out targets. That's not how it works. You need to be more careful. And then, like, this ends up just leading to Boss and Niner getting into a fight.
Yeah.
Which I do like, because we never see Niner fight anyone.
Yeah, and I do like, because this is when they get into, like, because what, is it, I guess it's Boss who says, like, well, like, yeah, Cal, that's how Omega does it, that's not how Delta does it. We, like, we just make decisions, and Niner's like, well, you just blow shit up and then ask questions later? That's not the good way to do things.
Legitimately,
Yeah, this is for once rock solid Niner took the bait. Yeah, you blow up everything without checking, and we think, I certainly agree with your analysis in your vote. And he's like, oh, we have an unbroken track record for successful missions. Like, we don't, you said it. And then basically, like, he goes off about, like...
Well, their whole big
thing... They're basically
thing
going
fame,
off on this whole point is that, like...
Their whole claim to fame is that their squad is the original, like, they're...
Right, they're all, they're a... Right.
They've
they're
never lost anybody.
Exactly.
But, you know, when you kill everything and blow up everyone around you.
And Niner even says that. It's, you know, he's like, you've never lost brother. Like, never. You have no idea. Boss is like, ever wonder why? And then that's when... But I do love that. And I'm like, yes. Fuck Boss and fuck Delta.
Yeah. Go up, Niner.
Because he's...
So, Cal does notice at this point that things have changed between Dar and Eat. And does talk to her. Also, I hate this that Cal keeps doing. Okay, because, I mean, like you said, like, he's treating Etain like an adult.
Yeah.
He's not treating Dar like an adult.
He only kind of, literally everyone else.
Like, right, he, like, and I can't,
I mean, I know he, like, he calls her Attica at one point, but he never does, like, her name.
Yeah, he never calls her Attica.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So it's, like, it's a weird of, like, but what is she at this point? Like 20? Maybe? At most?
At most.
Like,
I'd probably say more around
18. Well, I think, I thought we said she was, like, 18. Or like 17, 18 in hard content.
Yeah,
she'd
be like 18,
19. So, yeah, be like 18, 19. But, like, so she's not older than, like, so it's just weird that he's, like, treating her like she's an adult. And he's, like, making her go torture people and then treating her like an adult. But he's treating literally everyone else, including Jessica, who technically is on the exact same level as Etain, like, rank wise, all as children.
Right, yeah. No, I hate, and I hate that he keeps doing this whole thing of, like, you know, worrying about her and Darman's relationship, but not talking to Darman about it?
No.
Like, he's being so disrespectful to both of them.
Yeah.
Like, you know, he asks, like, oh, do you know what you're doing?
Yeah.
Like, to Etain, it's like, why aren't you asking Darman this?
No, because she's like...
Well, because she literally says at one point, like, are you going to tell me to stop? And, I don't know, she says something, he's like, are you going to tell him to stop? And he basically is like, I'm not going to tell him.
It's such a weird...
How dare you question Daddy's life.
Right. It's so stupid. I can't stand it because it's so annoying to both of them. Like, I can't stand the way he, like, at all later.
Yeah.
And Etain's just... later, he... Next book, he almost treats Darman worse. I mean, kind of both because he manipulates... Anyway, that doesn't...
Well,
the consequences of that happen. So then we just basically have them all, like, hanging out at the bar, And, like, Ordo's, like, talking to Lacima and, like, being like, are you doing okay? Like, I didn't mean to scare you, you know? And she's, like, nice and everything. She does call. She does say that you stand like you're still wearing that skirt, comma. But, yeah, Lacima is, like, nice to him. And also, yeah, Lacima also asks about Aiden and is like, oh, what's his deal? And, you know, she's like, oh, poor Aiden, so many scars, it's warm.
And I don't know. It's an interest. I don't know how I feel about it. I just find it interesting. Then now it seems like a couple of the other clones are like, oh, Odara and Aiden are together. Can I have a girlfriend?
Right.
And so, because even this, like, Order's like, oh, maybe she's hitting on me. And then she's like, oh, actually, Aiden's really cute. And
right.
Like, oh.
Yeah. Yeah, and then he basically, like, comes over and is like, oh, Lacima likes you. They're like, everyone was just quiet and know what to
and
say.
Then just eating. Yes. Okay.
And then, basically, Jailer ends up calling Socrata and basically tells him that some shit's gone down and they may have started a gang war after this whole big old with kidnapping a woman.
And blowing up a couple of cars.
Right.
Driving away from the mall.
Right, yes. Driving away from the
mall. So is that where we're going to cut
for
part one?
Yeah, I think that's where we're going to cut it for part one. Oh, God. So, right, this is already, like, such a soap opera.
It has, it's, yeah. It did.
So find out what happens on the next episode of Bad Batch.
No, that's not until 4 hours from now, Brett.
Yes, so I guess... pending any Bad Batch minisodes,
right.
We will be back on July 20th talking about the second part of Republic Commando's Triple Zero.
Triple Zero, yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I guess we'll talk all... Oh, I don't have a transition into a social plug.
Anyway, check us out on our social media.
Yes, we are BakarshikPod at gmail.com and then... No, we are BakarshikPodcast at gmail.com and BakarshikPod on Twitter, Tumblr, and Instagram. Brishakasak, BRIIKASAK.
Yes.
Whew.
Let us know if you think me and Seb are fucking.
Yes, that would have been a good transition into our social media plug, but we'll put it at the end here. Okay. So we will see you all again in part two.
Bye. Kawashi Matashimi. Sorry, give me one. I'm trying to figure out where.
4th of July, everyone.
Oh, do we want to do? But a lot. Chapter 11 is just, you know, Fi and Seb being gay and then kidnapping a woman and, you know, all that. So
jeez.
To you. Get that old Rex figure away from me. Anyway, so they're going in to kill someone. Probably could do better.